That can be scary for Christ. I just told him to be scary. Now you're telling me why. That doesn't seem to fit. Well, again, thank you for just continued prayer. You've blessed us, my household. We actually went 4 days without water, too. We got it fixed mostly yesterday, so it's been a really adventure. Luke's been hauling water out of the pool so that we can go to the bathroom, and because we have wells. And but thank you for your blessing. There's been so much food. I think I actually heard Olivia and Luke talking when they didn't know I was listening, that they were hoping I'd have a stint once a month just so we could have all this food. But I broke that curse in Jesus' name. And Rosemary, I know that you're watching. Love you, bless you, we miss you. Amen. And Mark's no longer going to be self-contained, so Rosemary, get ready. Alrighty. I pray even now, Lord, that you just release in Rosemary, what she's called in partnership with this, that all the gifts of the Spirit that are necessary for her to walk this path would just come forth in her now. That your presence, Holy Spirit, your hand, Lord, would be on her. She'd feel it even physically now. Lord, I pray for anyone out there watching over our Ustream. Lord, bless the Ustream one so they can actually watch it.
Amen.
And then cause, Lord, healing grace to be released in their physical person and their inner man, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, last week we began this word, this Easter word about the risen Christ, his role in our lives daily. Let me read these verses to you again. This is beginning in verse 6 of chapter 3. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness like columns of smoke, perfume with myrrh and frankincense? And that again is the spices of death and resurrection. It's a picture of Jesus coming forth in glory, victoriously, out of the wilderness of this fallen world and the death that this fallen world tries to control humanity with. He conquered death. So he's coming up out of the wilderness of the fallen world and death with glory, like columns of smoke. Not just coming up, but coming up victoriously. Perfume with myrrh and frankincense, with all the scented powders of the merchant. Behold, it is the traveling couch. One translation says the bridal chair of Solomon. 60 mighty men around it, of the mighty men of Israel. All of them welders of the sword, expert in war. Each man has his sword at his side, guarding against the terrors of the night. King Solomon has made for himself from the timbers of Lebanon, he made its post of silver, its back of gold, its seat of purple fabric, and its interior lovingly fitted out for the daughters of Jerusalem. That's us believers. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and gaze on King Solomon and the crown, which is again us, which his mother, the Holy Spirit, has crowned him on the day of his wedding, on the day of the gladness of his heart. The New Living Translation translate that last little sentence, on the happiest day of his life.
Amen.
So again, here is this incredible picture written in poetic form, metaphorically, of the victorious risen Christ coming forth in glory, having walked through this fallen world and having walked through it victoriously, and then conquering the last great enemy, death itself, that this wilderness of this fallen world has to offer. Having conquered that, risen victoriously from the dead, he comes to take us into this traveling couch or this bridal chair, carried along, now carrying us safely and victoriously through the wilderness experience of our life to the glorious wedding, the day, the happiest day of his life. That's this section of Scripture. There's a few things we looked at last week. There's just a couple of things I want to add to it and complete it, so we get a good picture of what he's trying to say. The fascinating thing here, as we mentioned last week, that I love about this, there's so many things I love about this, But again, he talks about the traveling couch of Solomon. We did this a lot last week during the week. We did it on Wednesday night. We talked about being in Christ. Our traveling couch is being in Christ. And so Jesus, again, as he said in John 14, he went to prepare a place for us. And he went to prepare a place for us for dying and taking us in him, the place of crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And he provided this thing, this place called in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man is in Christ, or woman, any person is in Christ, they're a new creation.
Amen.
Now, this sounds blasphemous. I don't mean to sound blasphemous because you can't say anything better than Scripture. But that's almost like this amazing understatement. If you're in Christ, you certainly are a new creation.
Amen.
Amazingly new creation. And he came to take us in Christ. And it's in the in Christ reality that he carries us through this fallen world, having been there before, having conquered and overcome the world before. He comes and takes us in this in Christ reality and experience and carries us through your particular version of this fallen world victoriously to this great wedding. I think about this again, and I think this is one of the most amazing thing in all of Scripture to me, this issue about being in Christ. And I can feel it, I can see it, I can praise God for it, but it's so hard to explain. So let me just say it again, some things. It's like a realm. It's just a reality. It's like before you became a Christian, you lived in a reality. It's called in Adam, just this lost person under condemnation, doing the best you can with your personality, your intelligence, and your willpower to make life work. Only problem is you have this fallen humanity and you're a slave to sin and you're a slave to your own best self-effort. When you become a Christian, because Jesus took you with him to the place of crucifixion, the place of execution, and the person you once were, that person I just described, was buried, and you were raised up with him, now in this mutual indwelling. It's called an in Christ place, where he's really now your life. Again, Jesus said like 4 or 5 times, describing his walk on the earth, that he was in the Father, and the Father was in him. That was his moment by moment, every waking and even being ministered to in his dreams at night, conscious reality. There was a mutual indwelling. He was in the Father. The Father was in him. Nothing happened by happenstance. He was plunged into a Father's story. He was in the Father. The Father was in him. It's a realm. It's a reality. It's a location. It's a consciousness. It's an identity. It's a change of identity. It changes everything about your relationship to sin, your relationship to death, your relationship to everything in this fallen world. It changes everything about your relationship to circumstances and situations. It changes everything about your marriage, your family relationships, where you work, the people you work with, finances. You're in Christ. It changes everything.
Amen.
That's the greatest truth about you.
That's right.
One translation used the word litter, Solomon's litter. Again, it's that thing that you carry, this traveling sedan chair, where you've got men in the front carrying poles, men in the back carrying poles. There's this gloriously fitted out sedan chair that's got room for two. He uses the term, again, that translation I love, the bridal chair, carrying us through. Now, the interesting thing, as we mentioned last week, so there are several practical things I want us to see again. One is that he's already been through this fallen world, and he's already faced, in particular, everything you personally are ever going to face. You hear me? He doesn't just face, in general, what all humanity faces. He particularly faced all the nuances that you feel and all those things that are so tempting, so difficult, so challenging in your life, physically, emotionally. He was tempted in every way. Just like you, Jed. Just like me. You with me?
Yep.
And so he's been there. This champion who's come to carry me through has been there where I'm going. And he's already won. And now he's placed me in him in this mutual indwelling. It's a sedan chair, so it's lifted above the ground. Not only am I seated in Christ, I'm in Christ seated in the heavenly places. I have a heavenly perspective. I have a different point of view. I've used this illustration before. I don't like tree stands because I don't like heights. But I did discover that once you finally get up in one, that things do look different.
Yep.
I've tried to talk Bill into building me some 4-foot tree stands so I could get back in them. things do look different, don't they? It's just a different perspective. Being in Christ gives you a totally different view. Because this one that I'm in, this mutual indwelling, involves a heavenly point of view, a heavenly perspective, a heavenly reality. And so you're above ground. The battle's going on the ground. Remember what it says in Psalm 27? This whole psalm, this amazing psalm about thou behold your beauty. This one thing I've asked, I shall seek. Thou will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold your beauty and inquire of you about it. We'll just talk about it. But the whole psalm is about a battle, war. And he says, he'll lift my head up above the enemies. What a great Old Testament prophetic word about what it means to be in Christ. Your body may be down in the war, but in a sense your head, renewed mind, is resting in the heavenly places because you're in Christ.
Yep.
And so, in this couch, as we mentioned last week, he said it's the traveling couch of Solomon. If I'm in Christ, I've forfeited my right and all my rights. I've forfeited my right to leadership. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And so it's his story. He's telling his story. I mean, I was in Christ yesterday, standing out there in my yard watching this guy drill 350 feet down to try to fix my well. I was in Christ with it taking a lot longer than we thought it was going to. I'm in Christ with everything worked perfect except for the faucet in my bathroom that just drips out water. I was in Christ writing a check that I wish I hadn't had to write. Do you understand?
Yep.
It involves being in Christ, involves his leadership. It's a locality. It's an environment. It's a reality. It involves direction and life and circumstances. It changes the way I see everything. I'm not just writing a check and griping and complaining. I'm in Christ. I can trust his leadership.
Amen.
Because I'm in Christ. It's a traveling thing. This in Christ, this bridal chair is a traveling bridal chair. How much time do we spend in unbelief and rebellion?
Yep.
Griping and complaining. As if we weren't in Christ. Or wishing somehow we weren't. No, you don't want that.
We are.
Right? And to know what he said, I love this part of the scripture. We mentioned this last week too. He says, behold, it's the traveling couch of Solomon, 60 mighty men around it, of the mighty men of Israel, all of them wielders of the sword. This is just a metaphorical language about Jesus. Jesus got his sword drawn. Let's see if I can find this one. I think, I don't know if I read this last week, but I love this. Psalm 45. Verse 3, gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and in your majesty, and in your majesty ride on victoriously.
Amen.
The image that Christ has the sword drawn, it means he intends to win. And when Jesus wins, he doesn't just barely win. It's always a majestic victory.
Amen.
And we may not be able to see it yet, but we can believe him for that. We can stand in faith about that, that Christ is winning a majestic victory here. And ultimately, I'll see it. Ephesians chapter 1, even if it's one day, looking back here at all the equations and numbers that added up to my life, it'll sum up Jesus. Oh my goodness, Lord, that was a majestic victory. I didn't even realize it. We live by faith.
Not by sight.
Not by sight. Right?
That's right.
And so we have this picture of this victorious Christ who's already been here. He's already done it. Taking me into this place of intimacy in his presence, this mutual indwelling, and carrying me through this world where he says, of the mighty men of Israel, 60 mighty men, all of them wielders the sword, expert in war, each man has the sword at his side. And we zeroed in on that place last week. He's an expert at war. Whatever the battle is that you're facing, personal, economical, situational, physical, health, he's an expert at it. That's such a great scripture to me. That's one of those ones you kind of put down in there. You know those things that you do when you face situations and circumstances that become, not formula, but they become faith language to you? This is one of those great ones. Lord, you're an expert at war here. You're an expert at this. Not only are you an expert at it because of who you are, you've actually done this one before. Because he's been through this fallen world and overcome it. So I know that you're an expert because you're who you are, but just as reassurance to me, you are who you are and you've done this one before and you won before. And so I assume there's going to be a majestic victory.
Amen.
Let me read this scripture to you. See, because everything that we do, it's so hard for us to see through the lenses of God, but everything we do has this like eternally past reality to it. Everything that we do that's in Christ all flows out of the finished work of Christ. I quoted this the Spanish NIV last week, I think. Maybe it was Wednesday night or one day. And the Spanish NIV, when Jesus said it's finished, they translated everything's finished.
Amen.
Which is the language there. Now listen, I love this scripture. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes 3:15. I want you to hear how God operates. And so in Christ's reality is already done. That which has already been and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, when he talks about entering into his rest, and then he talks about the fact that for God rested from all of his works on the seventh day, and I mentioned this, I think, last Wednesday night, when Adam was created and the seventh day thing was done, he looked at Adam and he said, and God said, this is good and very good. It wasn't that he saw that and then not long after it, he went, whoops, I thought it was good and very good. But I didn't know Adam was going to pull something like this. Remember what it says in Revelation 13:8, that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now this is something that's hard for us to relate to because we don't think like this. But do understand that God's ways are not your ways because he's so much other than us.
Amen.
And we have this in Christ experience with this one. When he looked into the eyes of Adam, he didn't just say, you're good and very good because I did this just right and boy, this is awesome. He also saw in the eyes of Adam a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It didn't take him by surprise. He was declaring and decreeing good when he knew all that was going to come. Because he's a God of eternity. So everything that we walk in as a believer has already done. We wake up tomorrow and find out what Jesus did. Victory's already ours. He's already been there. The circumstance that you face tomorrow, he's already faced. He knows it's coming. He's in leadership. He talks about, he's an expert at war, each man with his sword at his side, guarding against the terrors of the night. And again, we talked about that last week. There are all these things in this night of this fallen world that are scary, that go bump in the night. But they're not scary to him. He knows where he's leading us. He knows what's around the corner. He's already been there. He already has been victorious over it. I want you to see this thing at verse 10. Well, we'll begin the last part of verse 9. King Solomon has made for himself from the timber of Lebanon. He made its post of silver. He's describing this sedan chair, this bridal chair. Its back of gold and its seat of purple fabric. That's some awesome stuff there. But we don't have time to do all that in detail. It just describes all the graces that's ours in Christ. And he goes and says, this says, and its interior is lovingly fitted out for all Christians, the daughters of Jerusalem. Now the word here, the Hebrew word, lovingly fitted out, the word lovingly means just that, passionate love, and it's been perfectly fitted just for you.
Wow.
In other words, that scripture that we've looked at a lot, 2 Corinthians 9:8, in the last few months, the amazing gospel within the gospel. For the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know, really, again, we could just come every week, I could take about 10 seconds, quote that verse, and then that should be all we need to do. Covers everything you're about to go through, going through, or just went through.
That's right.
But understand what this scripture says. All grace has perfectly fitted for each one of you out of God's love.
Wow.
In other words, it's not just that you have grace for the situation, but it's just the kind of nuanced grace that you need with your personality for this situation. Mm. It's perfectly fitted out for you. It's as if, because we're all needing, so somebody were to build something for Olivia. Like when we didn't have a handicapped bathroom for years. And so when Olivia came to the place where she wasn't able to walk, she couldn't go to the bathroom. And some dear friends of ours came, sort of remodeled our house, and widened the door, fixed a shower she can go in, and she can sit, fixed the sink she can get up under with her wheelchair. It was lovingly fitted out that was just perfect for her particular need and her particular situation. It wasn't just a bathroom. It was her. Now, I'll tell you why I know it's her bathroom, because the shower head comes about like right here. I wasn't there when I did that part. I thought, so for you, this in Christ thing has already been fitted out. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace, perfectly fitted just for you, your situation, your circumstance, your temptation, your tendency towards this particular stronghold, your personality, that's the kind of grace you got.
Yeah.
Already. Past tense. In Christ. Finished work of Christ. Done deal. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
You got to encourage me some good. Something, either you're dead in the spirit, we need to do a four spiritual law booklet and get saved, or I'm not doing a good job of preaching. Get Mark to come up here and preach this thing. He'll get you fired up. I just love that particular scripture. It's not just that you've got another one of those in Christ vehicles. It's uniquely, lovingly fitted out just for you.
Wow.
In anticipation of everything you've not yet faced. And he's leading you exactly where he wants you to be. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. So, every moment, every step, I can grow with an increasing sense of celebrating your presence that's always not just with me, but there's this mutual indwelling. Remember last Wednesday, those who came Wednesday? You need to come on Wednesdays. You'll grow twice as fast.
Amen.
That's the old Orthodox word for to describe the Trinity is the word to rotate in a dance. And it's also the score describing in Christ. It's a dance. A mutual kind of mutual indwelling, intermingling dance. Celebrating his presence, trusting in his leadership. It's the traveling couch of Solomon has got you behind the longest order in the history of Zaxby's. In our carpool line. Really, it works out like that in the details of life, doesn't it? Isn't that how we practice the presence of Jesus?
Yeah.
Celebrating his presence, trusting in his leadership, resting in his victory. And here's this last little part to see. How am I doing? It says in verse 6, not only has he come forth with columns of smoke, not only perfume with myrrh and frankincense, and this is sort of the capper for it all for me, but scented with all the powders of the merchant.
Mm.
Now, why did the Holy Spirit put that there? Matthew chapter 13 says this. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great price, which is you, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The scent of a merchant is the scent of one. Jesus carries the scent of one who loves us so much. He's already proven that he can be trusted because he gave everything that he had just to have you.
Amen.
Just so you could be in the sedan chair with him. He's certainly not going to drop you on the way. You see, faith comes forth from love. Let's look at Galatians 2:20 again. I am crucified with Christ. Here's a great description of new creation being in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not the me I used to be. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, whatever your life looks like, the life which I now live in the flesh, in my humanity, everyday stuff. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and did what?
Gave
himself for me.
Amen.
That little phrase is the key phrase. If he gave himself for you, if he's already proven his faithfulness and love to you at such a level, can't you trust him to keep giving himself to you? In Christ, moment
Amen.
By moment.
Amen.
Faith works through love. Perfect love casts out fear. And the more we understand that the one who's taking me into Christ, who's asked me, you know, again, that whole passage in Romans chapter, you know, Song of Solomon 8, speaking of us now, as we grow in maturity and union with him, our experience of union, who is this coming up out of the wilderness? Leaning on her beloved. May that be true about all of us tomorrow. May that be true about our situation that we're in. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? So this in Christ place that he's provided for us, it's got all the nuance, grace we'll ever need already, anticipating every situation we'll ever go through. The one walking, whose mutual indwelling is an expert at war, ready for majestic victories. His leadership can be totally trusted. All I have to do is lean on my beloved. Lean into my beloved. Celebrate his presence. Trust in his leadership. Rest in his victory. Because he's already given himself to me. He'll never fail me. He's already proven I can trust him. He loved me so much. His name is like oil poured forth. That's how the Song of Solomon starts. Again, that Hebrew word poured forth, it means emptied. His very name is emptied out for me. That's how it starts. Who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Oh. That's how in this life that I live in the flesh, I can live by faith. Actually, I can live in the faithfulness of the Son of God
who came. Amen.
And gave himself for me.
Amen.
That's the Easter message. The one who conquered death, who gave himself for you, not just scented with death and resurrection, but carries the scent of one who's given himself for you. Can he be trusted? He's taking you into the most intimate place a human being can be, into a whole new realm. It's called in Christ, where there's this mutual indwelling and union and relationship in which I face everything in life, trusting this expert at war. That's one of the most amazing scriptures in all the Bible.
Yep.
We'll probably just scratch the surface. But it needs to land on the surface of your circumstances and situations. That becomes a very practical word. What does it look like in our lives when we see this? We start repenting of all the griping and complaining. We labor to enter into rest. We made this the priority. God, make this real in us, Lord, so real that it changes the way I respond and feel about every situation and temptation and relationship in my life. Because I'm in Christ. God has not out of performance, but God has extraordinary anticipation of you. Because you're in Christ, we said this a lot last week, Jesus is what God thinks about you. In Christ, you carry his presence. You carry his potential. You can walk out in divine purposes under his leadership. Amen.
Amen.
So let's do this. I just think if we're in Christ, we carry his anointing. We can release into each other's life his anointing for healing. Amen.
Amen.
So let's, if I got some guys, go up and bless. If you have need for healing, I want you to come up. I want you to receive first and cover all the altar rails. If you have need for healing, either in your emotions, you've been struggling with anxiety, depression, come. If you have things going on in your body, come.
If you bring that big one.
Now.